In the name of our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. Amen. So today is the last Sunday after Pentecost, also known as Christ the King Sunday, the final day in the liturgical year as we end year B, which is largely the Gospel of Mark, and then move next week into Advent with year C, which is largely the Gospel of Luke. And that, of course, as you know, Advent is the preparatory season for Christmas. Today's scripture focuses on the divine and transcendental nature of God in Christ, especially with chapter 1 of Revelation. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. We also hear from the Gospel of John read as Pontius Pilate asked Jesus if he is the King of the Jews, which you know is during Holy Week. And our collect today notes the divine and kingly nature of God in Christ reigning above. It says, Almighty and everlasting God, whose will it is to restore all things in your well-beloved Son, the King of kings and Lord of lords. So on this feast day of Christ the King, one can wear either green or white. I think we wore green last year, but we chose to wear white today, which, as you know, is the color of Christmas, Easter, and when there's a baptism. But this is a very important day as we focus on the divinity of Christ and the kingship of God in Christ. Now, how many of you were raised in the Roman Catholic Church? Okay. And just a question for all of us, do you know the history, not you, Father Wayne, do you know the history of the feast of Christ the King? Does anyone know when that was implemented in the church? So this was added to the Christian calendar by Pope Pius XI in 1925. And this was done just a few years after World War I. If you remember from history, Europe was divided between the Allied powers who won the war, and the Central powers who lost, especially Germany. And as you might remember from history, Germany had an almost impossible recovery, and their economy struggled greatly as they paid massive war reparations to surrounding Western powers. Their economic situation and the pride of a nation who lost a war caused a rise in fascism and nationalism, not only in Germany, but in some surrounding nation states as well. So let's change to a nice picture I found from the Vanderbilt University Divinity Library online, which is a picture depicted, more of an Orthodox picture of Christ the King. So Pope Pius XI named Christ the King Sunday as a holy day during this time after the war to remind Christians that we have an allegiance to Jesus Christ and not to any earthly ruler or nation, which was happening in Germany with the rise of the Chancellor and the rise of Hitler. So this Christ the King Sunday was originally put in the church calendar to be the last Sunday of October, the Sunday right before All Saints Day. And All Saints Day, as you may remember, is November 1st, or we can celebrate the Sunday after. Now, I don't know if any of us here remember Pius XI, but do you remember Paul VI? Anybody remember Paul VI? So in 1969, Pope Paul VI moved this feast of Christ the King to today, the final Sunday of the liturgical year, and the Episcopal Church follows suit. So we remember today the kingship of Christ, surpassing any kingly realms on earth, as of course nothing can compete with the kingship of heaven. And also, as to the theological importance of this day, we remember from Scripture, God is the Alpha, God is the Omega, and all in between, who was and is to come. So this focus today is not on the human nature of Christ, but on his divine nature, as he has both, as you know, as we recite in our creed. So, and it's also to remind us that God sits on a throne in heaven, which we can go to the next slide, and you can see that. So Christ the King, Christ our King, brings liberation and peace and justice and solace for each of us. And this transcendental nature of God, compared with the incarnational aspect of God, which we'll see next week in all of Advent and Christmas when Jesus comes as the baby, today we focus on the kingship, the divine nature, and the transcendental nature of God. It reminds us to worship God, to follow Jesus as our model, to emulate Jesus, to have a life of compassion and of grace, of integrity, trustworthiness, persevering in our faith, and sharing God's love with neighbor and the world as we are people of light and salt, if you remember that parable. So Jesus Christ the King spoke truth to power of the Empire of Rome, which was occupying the land, and you remember the puppet king Herod. So our Lord challenged the boundaries of the Roman Empire as he engaged the concepts of king and kingdom, making what's called the way. It was called the way in the first century. The term Christianity had not come for 200 more years. So this sect, this way of Jesus, was one that, as you know, spoke truth to power, used orphans and widows and the poor as examples to be in the heavenly kingdom of God. So Jesus could have come as a king and demanded homage. Instead, he comes to us in a small and humble way. He doesn't rest on his laurels as the Son of God, but instead teaches us, and all through the last 2,000 years, to lead by being a servant to others and serving out of love. Instead of putting himself first, which he could have, Jesus lives by dying on the cross, allowing the Empire of Rome to put him to death, which is what we heard Father Wayne read today in John. So today we focus on that transcendental nature of God. We focus on the model that we follow, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit that has come and is in each of us in the triune God. So today and always, let us proclaim loudly and boldly and without apology that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And may we tether our lives to God's reign of love and justice until it is gloriously and finally done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.